When life gets you down and you feel more broken than whole. When the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul. I may not know what you're going through and may not can take that high mountain move. But one thing I found that I really want you to know. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain or you're really needing an answer. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the maker and giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees a sparrow that falls to the ground and he hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in His sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain or you're really needing an answer. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain or you're really needing an answer. If it matters to you, it doesn't only matter to you. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
We began reading at verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. And therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise be unto God for the hearing and the reading of His precious and His eternal word. We Pentecostals sometimes are real big on action, real big on power. I was so glad when I came in the sanctuary to hear them singing, We've Got the Power, because that just matched exactly the message that I had today. And what you're hearing in chapter 9 and chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke is the first time that missionaries were sent out. And the Lord Jesus first sent out His 12 apostles, those 12 people who He had been training. They'd been with Him approximately a year and a half in His ministry, or a little more. And then He sent them out, and then a little later He sent out 70 more missionaries, two by two, across the land of Israel. So we actually had 41 teams of missionaries, 41 teams of people going out and preaching the gospel. And He sent them out, and He sent them out with a mandate. He sent them out with a command. First thing He said was, go. He never told us to hide it under a bushel, did He? He never told us to say, well, we're going to just sort of soft pedal this off. Now, that would be the modern way. But Jesus, last commission He gave His disciples was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I have to tell you, and I want to tell you this, He did not tell us to go into all the world and preach signs, wonders, and miracles. He did not. You say, but He performs signs, wonders, and miracles. He performs signs, wonders, and miracles. But He did not, that's not the message to the world. The world does not need a message of signs, wonders, and miracles. The world needs a message of salvation. The world is lost and undone without God. But I'll tell you something. The Word of God is powerful. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God can pierce to the deepest part of a man's soul. The Word of God can pierce to the deepest point in a man's life, and to a point that no doctor, no psychiatrist, no an analysis person could ever reach to, the Word of God can reach to the very depths of a man's heart and soul. And He's told us to go in the world. You say, but God is a miracle-working God? God is a miracle-working God. I take nothing from that. But He did not send us to preach signs, wonders, and miracles. In fact, when He was here on earth and He was performing such wonderful acts, people liked Him because they could see the wonderful acts that He was doing. They could see the healings. Everybody wanted to see it. Did you see that blind man? Been blind all of his life, and now he can see. Did you see that crippled man? Had been laying down there by the gate of the temple all of his life, and he got up and walked away. Did you see that dirty old man over there that lived in the tombs in Gadara, and he lived so bad and acted so bad, and Jesus spoke to him, and enough demons came out of him to drive 1,000 hogs wild and send them into the river, into the lake. I mean, on and on. Everybody was talking about it. Zacchaeus came out to see about it. King Herod said, what's going on? What's happening down there? What's going on? I want to know. Is this John the Baptist resurrected? Everybody was talking about the signs, wonders, and miracles. And people came from far and near to see Jesus performing miracles. They came to see Lazarus, who was resurrected from the dead, actually more than they came to see Jesus himself. And they crowded in so much they could hardly eat dinner because they were all sitting around the table and everybody wanted to see Lazarus. Do you know he was dead 4 days? Why, he was smelling already. And you know what? Jesus called him from the grave and raised him up. It got everybody's attention. But think about it. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, how many of those thousands were there to receive the Spirit and the fire? 120 out of thousands. When he went on the hillside in Galilee and appeared to them, he said, all of my disciples, go to Galilee and meet with me. And they went to Galilee to meet with him. And how many of them were there? 500. 500. You say, well, that's pretty good meeting, 500. When you've been having tens of thousands of people come, you've been having people coming from all over the country talking about the signs, wonders, and miracles, and then you see 500 people come out? I mean, Jesus Christ has been in the grave 3 days and three nights. It's a known fact that he was dead. It's a known fact he was buried and sealed in a tomb. And yet he says, all of my disciples meet with me in Galilee, and only 500 of them showed up. When he promised in a few days. Now this didn't happen in 3 months or 3 years. 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven. 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, had told them to wait for the promise of the Father in Jerusalem. How many of them were there waiting? 120. What happened to all these people? They saw the miracles. They were awed by the power of God. But it was like a sideshow. It was like something going on. It was just something to see. They did not absorb into their heart and into their life the gospel. What he sent them out to do was to preach the gospel. And he says, if you preach the gospel, what's going to happen? Signs will follow, not precede. Signs will follow them that believe. And if we preach the gospel, if we stick to the word of God, if we trust the word of God, I can tell you the power of God will be manifest among us. But we want to get the cart before the horse. We want to say, look at this demonstration of the power of God. Oh yeah, and you ought to get saved if you can, you know. You ought to maybe repent. That's not the way it goes. The way it goes is like this. You believe the message of the gospel. And because you believe the message of the gospel, you repent of your sins. And because you repent of your sins, you change your life and you make it conformable unto the life of Jesus Christ. And because of that, God honors His word with the demonstration of His power. We want Him to honor us with the demonstration of His power, but He honors His word. And when I look at this, He sent them out. And what did He say to them? Go into all the world and what? What did He say here? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. When we go out, our message has to be to save sinners. Our message has to be the good news that men were lost and undone without God, but because of His saving grace, His keeping power, because of His love and compassion, and He loved us so much He was willing to give His Son, because of that message, it changes our heart. It changes who we are. And when we do that, He said, I will give you power. How many of you believe power has been delivered to the church? Absolutely. On the day of Pentecost? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. I don't happen to believe that Peter and James and John belong to one church and we belong to another church. I claim apostolic church. I claim that I belong to the same church that Peter and James and John belong to. I claim that the power of the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost and invigorated the church is as much for people in the 21st century as it was in the first century. I contend, looking at the Word of God and looking at human beings, that we need the Spirit of God moving in our lives as much as they needed it in the first century. They weren't unique in that they needed more than we have. In fact is, in our day and time, we might need the Spirit more than ever because the end time is drawing on. Satan is angry because of that, knows his days are short, and he's after us. In fact is, I read in the book of the Revelation that an angel came down and opened up the bottomless pit and let a horde of demons out into the world that went out to afflict human beings. I don't know if that's happened yet or not, but if it gets any worse than what it is, it's sure going to be a bunch of devils running around in this world, isn't it? And you say, well, that's scary. Well, it should be scary. It should be scary. If you're not a saved person, my friend, you are open to be tormented and to be influenced, to be overtaken by those demons that they let out of the bottomless pit in the Revelation. All of the demons are fallen angels that came down from heaven because of their fall, have not been unleashed on the earth, but some of them, for some reason, have been kept in lockup. But in the end time, as the whole thing comes together, those demon spirits will be let go on the earth and torment the human beings that are living in the end time. Now, as you go, you have this power that's been given to you. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he says, I will give you the power. In fact, as he said, you need to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send more laborers, because what's happening is that the harvest is great and the laborers are few. We need more people to come out and to go into that. And he gives instructions. Boy, I tell you, the modern 21st century televangelist must squirm something terrible when they read the 9th and 10th chapters of the Gospel of Luke. They must feel some uncomfortableness when they read this because, you know, he tells them, don't take a money bag. Don't take a bag for your scrip. You know, the beggars carried a bag for scrip. And you know what he's saying? He's saying when you go out preaching, you're not going out to be a beggar. God has not sent you out to be a beggar. He sent you to preach the gospel. And you can trust him to take care of your needs when you do that. I was 17 years old when we bought a tent here at the church. And the idea was that we would go out in evangelistic work and we would take the tent and we would preach. And I was 17, and it was about the time Herb got saved and came in with us in the tent meetings. And I said, yes, I'll do that. I'll be glad to do that. But there's one thing. And they said, what's that? I said, we are not going to. I was so sick of preachers traveling around from community to community and robbing the people. I was so sick of preachers going around and threatening the people. If you don't give, this might happen to you and judgment might fall on you, and going away with a fat money sack and going somewhere else and forgetting about the people. I was just sick of that. And I said, we will buy a tent, but freely we have received and freely we will give. We will preach the gospel and we will not take up an offering and charge the people to hear the gospel. We will give it to them. I didn't realize it, but the word got around. And one day Aubrey Law walked in the hardware store, and we were running that in Pembroke, and he said, there's the man that ruined preaching in Monroe County, West Virginia forever. And I said, what did I do? And he said, you brought that tent over there and preached all over Monroe County and never took up one offering or asked for one penny and said, you know what? Now they think every preacher ought to preach for nothing. I wonder the preachers hadn't got after me, isn't it? I still think I was right. We gave it away. The other thing was, if there was a Bible-believing church in the community, a Bible-preaching church where a soul would be saved, I did not want to gather a following to ourselves, but I wanted the people in that community to go to that church and make that community church strong and to be what they ought to be. We're not in this to start some kind of an empire in the religious world. We're in this because souls are dying and going to hell and people need to be saved. He told them, he said, don't worry about money. Don't take a script bag, which is what beggars begged in. Don't even take two pair of shoes. Jenny, you want to repent now or after a while?
I'm going to do it now.
Jenny just likes shoes, that's all. But he said, don't even take an extra pair of shoes. Don't take extra clothes. Don't take extra things. Trust God. And he said, don't get involved in all the things in a community when you go in there. Don't run from house to house and place to place. When somebody takes you in and keeps you in their home, go in that house. Be content to be there. Eat whatever's set before you. Don't ask for the very best. Nowadays, you have to call the person's evangelistic association. You have to ascertain how much money you're going to put aside for them. You have to talk about where they're going to get to eat and what motel they're going to get to stay in and how much money it's going to cost to put on the meeting. I have to tell you, there was no such thing as that in the apostolic church. These men that Christ sent out went because they were called of God. Number two, they went because God gave them the power. He gave them the authority over Satan and to heal and to even raise the dead. He gave it to them. Don't meddle in the things. And the disciples went out. The 70 went out two and two. And so that was 35 couples went out preaching. The 12 went out and that was six more couples preaching. So there were 41 teams going out across the country preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you think about this. When Christ was here, he was only one person. He was only one place at one time. He's on his final push to Jerusalem and is going to die. And he has sent these men out. All these teams are out preaching everywhere. All of the villages and towns, nothing is left unturned. They are preaching the gospel everywhere. They're not preaching signs, wonders, and miracles. You do not go into a town and find a great big banner that says, Peter and John coming to town, signs, wonders, and miracles. Even his shadow might heal you. You don't see that. They haven't gone on Facebook. They haven't gone on CNN. They haven't gone on the local radio station. They have nothing, no advanced publicity. But when they walk into a town, they are so filled with the power of God and the unction of God that when they do the work of God, the word gets around. Let me tell you something, my friend. When you're hungry and you smell fresh bread, you'll go to it. And if we have the power of God, and let me tell you something, folks. They didn't have an organ or a piano or a guitar or electricity. They didn't have microphones or megaphones or anything like that. They simply went out and did the work of God and changed in their generation the whole world. People said, the ones that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. And they went out preaching. So when they came back and reported into Jesus, they said, Master, do you know that even the devils are subject to us? Isn't it wonderful that the demons come out and we've commanded them to come out and we've commanded people to be free and the demons have come out and how great it is, how wonderful it is. And you know what Jesus said? He said, he didn't take anything away from that. It was great. It was wonderful. But you know what he said? He said, that's not what you're supposed to rejoice in. The important thing is that your name is written in heaven. Remember the old hymn? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. The important thing is not that you can do all these signs and wonders and miracles. The important thing is that your name is written down in glory. I like that song. I hear those Pentecostal people down in Alexandria, Kentucky, Louisiana singing it sometimes. He wrote my name way up in glory land. He saved my soul. My friend, that's the thing. The old Church of God testimony, when they would stand up, the first thing they would say, I praise God, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. My friend, that should be your first testimony any place you go. Your first testimony should not be, oh, I can tell you all the times I prayed and all the miracles God performed. I can tell you I've had 14 revivals and there were 750 people healed of neurosis or whatever while I was there. None of that, my friend. The number one thing that Paul had when he went out preaching, he said, one day I was on the road to Damascus and I was a sinner above all sinners and I was persecuting the church of God and I was living a terrible life and God came down and shined his light on me and saved my soul. And I find Paul 60 years later in cities all across Europe giving the same testimony. I was a sinner and God saved me. I was lost and undone and God saved me. My brothers and sisters, do you know what Jesus said when they said the demons are coming out and we're preaching the gospel to the poor? When John the Baptist sent to Jesus and said, are you the one? What did Jesus send back to him? Said, tell him the gospel is preached to the poor. The gospel is preached to the poor. And you know what? My brothers and sisters, when they looked and they cast the demons out and the people got saved, you know what Jesus said? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Do you know what God's number one A plan to save this world is? Do you know what his number one A plan is to save this world and to redeem men? It's for me to preach the gospel. Amen. You see, Eddie Kendall? Oh, yeah. And him and her and him. And him and her and all of you. His number one plan is that fishermen, tax collectors, sinners saved by grace will have the message of salvation and bring it to the world. You say, what's his B plan? He don't have one. This is the only plan he has. He has no other plan to save the world except to take sinners that have been saved by grace, fill them with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and send them to the world. And you say, oh no, God expects me to go to Africa. No, I can tell you something even harder than that. God expects you to go where you work tomorrow and be a living witness for Him. Going to Africa might be easy. God expects you to go home to your family and be a witness to them. God expects you to go to your school this fall, to your college or wherever you're going to school, and be a witness to your fellow students, to your professors, and to your teachers. God expects you to show the world the power of God, to show the world what's there. And you know what? You remember a song we sing? Oh, Satan, your kingdom must come down. Sing it. Oh, Satan, your kingdom must come down. Well, I heard a voice from heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom must come down. You know how it's going to come down? Satan's fallen from heaven. How? Because God, oh, Satan looks down on us. We're not as powerful. Brother Roloff used to say, the devil don't have any power. That's not what the Bible said. Bible said he has great power, could call down fire from heaven. I'm sorry to say the devil is a powerful person. But listen, he's not more powerful than the God that's in you. Amen. He's not more powerful than the Spirit of God that's come, because God has given you, the Church of God, power over the devil. Amen. And you can command him and he has to listen. You don't have to listen to that dirty booger. You don't have to let him stand in your ear and whisper that nonsense to you, but you can tell him to get. You can rebuke. Isn't that what the Bible said? You can rebuke the devil and he will what? Flee from you. But if you're going to entertain him, he'll stay. If you're going to make it comfortable for him, he'll stay around and he'll look for a chink in your armor that he can do something to you. But my friend, you have the power and you can look the devil in the face and say, na 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 na. You know why? You know what, devil? My name is written in heaven and there's not one thing you can do about it. You cannot take me out my name out of his book. You can not take me out of his hand. You are not strong enough, devil. You, devil, are at my command. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. And how do we get that? By preaching his word. The word of God is powerful. Powerful. And if we preach the gospel, the signs will follow the gospel. And we have power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. Who said that? Dr. Spock? No. Freud? No. Jesus Christ said that. And you can believe what he says. What he gave to the church in the first century belongs to the church in the 21st century. Amen? Hallelujah. Dixie, come up here. Isn't it wonderful that you can trust God for your salvation? Amen. Praise God. This is Dixie Moser. I've known Dixie a long time.
You didn't say that.
I didn't say how long.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say how long. Dixie lives out on Curve Road. And she has a little girl in heaven.
Yes.
And we were there and helped in that time. But Dixie's been coming to church here for several weeks now. And she would like to be a member of this congregation and work in this church. And would you just welcome her into the house of God? Bless you.
Thank you.
And we'll work on old Mr. Eddie.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Eddie Kendall.
No.
I'm talking about Eddie Moser.
Right. There is something I want to ask you, though.
What?
I've been baptized. Mm-hmm. Right? But I've always felt like I need to be baptized in running water.
That's okay.
Can you redo it and baptize me in the lake? Or?
Yeah, we can. She's been baptized. She's a believer.
Yeah.
But she would like to be baptized in living water, running water.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
We'll either go to the river or to the creek.
Yeah, or, you know, the pool, the Nose Park, whatever.
As long as it's running water.
I just feel like I need to do that.
We can do that. We'll make your calling and election sure.
Okay, thank you.
And we don't keep a formal registry of members. If you come here and you worship here and you confess Christ as your Savior, we accept you as on your testimony.
Well, he is definitely my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Definitely. Praise God. Give her a hand and praise God for it. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you don't have any trouble remembering her. She's Dixie. That's an easy name to remember. And we praise God for her being here. Would you stand? And what are we going to sing? Have thine own way, Lord.
Had it not been,
all right. Come right on, Sister Gloria.